Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Plus the announcement of five All-Stars, four to join Jose Altuve, the starter. This one popped up. Who wants it? Jeremy Peña shielding his eyes, and he'll put it away for an Astros victory. Brian Abreu, a 1-2-3 ninth inning with a couple of strikeouts in the mix. The Astros win 6-1.
Solid performance by Brian Abreu. Solid performance by the Astros, as always, as they win 6-1 yesterday versus the Oakland Athletics. They have an off day today, so they rest today, and then they have a series with the Angels tomorrow. I'm Vanessa Richardson. Paul Gallant with us, as always. Sean Mapes with us, as always. Guys, we have the OG squad back together, but Paul, you are not here physically. Give us a little Paul Gallant Rona update.
So I am still in my apartment. I think today is the last day I'm supposed to. I don't know. The CDC is confusing as hell. I'm just trying to be a little bit more courteous because I'm sure that someone at our station is probably going to be like, well, you almost got me COVID. So I'm just staying an extra day here. Okay? I'm just trying to do my part. I'm a part of it, but I'm feeling all right.
Save lives, stay home, as they said for a long
yeah.
time.
Yeah, stay home and drink a bunch of booze and make yourself pasta.
Oh, so you still drink?
Well, yeah, you gotta kill the virus.
Gotta kill the virus with alcohol.
Yeah.
Well, we hope to see you back here when you're feeling
tomorrow.
Good. Yeah, glad you were able to stay in, although it sounds like you still were able to have some fun with you and your cat Aria.
I made gravy. Do you know how the Italians make it, and they like to call it gravy and sound all hardo and
Wait,
stuff?
What is gravy?
Look at this non-paisan over here. You don't even know what gravy is. It's when you put together the pasta sauce, okay?
Oh.
You put the tomatoes in the blender. You make it from scratch. You put the tomatoes in there. You put the carrots in there for sweetener. You put some onion, some garlic in there. You shave the garlic with the razor, only with the razor. If you don't do it with the razor, it's not going to go out correct, Vanessa.
So you made spaghetti.
Wow, you made it sound like it wasn't so time intensive. I made some gravy, okay? Like it was a Sunday. Like I was a part of the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, Jim Tan Laundry over here. Glad Paul is feeling better, of course, and we look forward to having him back in studio. What we're not looking forward to is tracking this Yordan Alvarez injury. This is a bummer. We knew something was up. Danielle Lerner from the Houston Chronicle had tweeted that Yordan had not made the road trip, that there was an update coming soon with the roster. And what Dusty Baker explained was basically that Yordan had been suffering with this injury for a couple of weeks. Here's Dusty via Mark Berman on this injury.
The prognosis was better, than we had hoped for, and it was good. He's on day to day, nothing structurally wrong, and that's big. I was trying to figure out if I was going to change my game plan or how to manage without that big bat in the lineup. So, hopefully, it'd just be a few days.
So, nothing structurally wrong is definitely good news. If you remember when Alvarez experienced this the first time, and whatever was going on with his hand, he came back better than ever. He hit a couple home runs. Like, I honestly just thought, okay, that was just a little bit of a glitch. Now I think you question and you have to question, did he come back too soon? What's going on? And the Astros, Paul, are always so hush-hush with injuries that you genuinely don't know.
Dusty Baker was aware of this injury for multiple weeks. Yordan injured his hand on a swing June 18th. Baker said it's been bothering him since June 18th on every single swing. He was asked about it on July 1st. He was asked about it on June 19th. He was aware of it. And whether this is something that you pin on the Astros as a whole or on Dusty Baker, they screwed this up. And now my big concern is, Vanessa, that a hand injury, I hear hand injury, I hear wrist injury, I hear injury to anything around there. That concerns me. I don't want to hear about a guy that's being thrown out there when he's dealing with something like that. Play it safe. You're playing it safe with Lance McCullers. You should play it safe with everything. The big picture is the World Series. You are going to win this division by default with the way things are right now. I guess what is the point of continuing to put Yordan Alvarez out there if his hand is bothering him on every single swing? Rest the guy.
I think if you're Dusty Baker and you have Yordan Alvarez, who probably wants to play, and when he's playing very well. He's made some great throws. He's obviously a home run machine. Do you think that maybe Dusty Baker's mindset was, okay, well, he's playing well, so even if he's in a little bit of pain, I need to let the guy let Yordan cook, as the kids say?
Probably. I mean, look, you're right. He was playing well, so I can understand maybe why Baker would do that. But Baker's the guy that's supposed to stand in here and say something about it. Or someone in the Astros organization up top is supposed to make the phone call down to Dusty and say, oh, his hand's hurt? We got to put him on the bench.
Right.
So this makes me concerned big picture. Maybe this isn't that big of a deal. It's only the 10-day injured list. But I don't know. Hands, wrists, those scare the hell out of me when it comes to hitters. And I mean, with the way Alvarez has been hitting thus far this year, okay, well, what happens if this has continued to aggravate itself? Is it going to be something that continues to nag? Okay, he comes back after 10 days. He comes back after 20 days or something like that. He doesn't play in the All-Star game. When will this come back up? And is this something that maybe is a result of the Astros not playing it safe earlier in the year when they should have? So it feels right now, and again, I don't have all the insight. All I'm knowing is that looking at it from a perspective of they've known about this for a couple of weeks, and yet they continue to see him play, it feels like the Astros screwed this one up.
Well, the All-Star game is around the corner, as is the Home Run Derby. We don't think, obviously, that we'll see Yordan Alvarez, which is a major bummer because I wanted to see him hit home runs in front of L.A. and all the Dodgers fans. But Altuve is to start. Verlander, no shocker here. His ninth All-Star selection, Valdez, Tucker, and Alvarez named first-time All-Stars. Ohtani beat Alvarez for starting at DH. People had thoughts on that, Paul.
I did. Look, I get it. I mean, it's a vote, so what are you supposed to do? I feel like, though, if you're going to have Shohei Ohtani be your starting pitcher, then don't you want to have somebody else in that designated hitter spot? Because can't he do both over the course of a game? But this is the way that it works, and that is the novelty of Shohei Ohtani. He can hit. He can pitch. Ooh! Alvarez is the best hitter in baseball right now.
Don't you think he should have his own category?
Freak.
What'd you say?
He's the designated freak.
Right. I mean, it's like, and it's one of those things, too, where the brand, I mean, it's a global brand that he has. So I'm not shocked that he beat Alvarez, but I was bummed about that for sure, and bummed that I don't think that we'll see Alvarez at the All-Star game. Are you still on team the Astros should boycott the All-Star game?
Especially
still?
Now. I mean, this is the perfect reason. Okay, Alvarez didn't even win as designated hitter. Okay, the best hitter in baseball, your actual designated hitter, here he is not actually starting an All-Star game. Jose Altuve is your only starter. Great, Kyle Tucker got in for the first time ever. Framber Valdez got in for the first time ever. And Justin Verlander's there for a ninth time. I don't care. Screw this. I don't want them to have to show up. You know what? It would be way cooler from a villain perspective, and I think the Astros should lean into being the evil empire, to being the Death Star. They should not show up because it would be funny. That's really it.
It would be funny, but don't you think that with baseball fans that Altuve getting all these votes represents the fact that maybe other fans are starting to move on from it? Am I overthinking that?
I don't think you're overthinking it, but I'm trying to look at this from every single perspective
right here.
I don't know. No, you know what? Screw it. I like that. I like the theory. Keep going.
Paul likes the villain aspect of baseball. All right. As far as what we have coming up for the Astros, they have an off day today. They have a series with the Angels that starts tomorrow, and then PG, they actually play the A's again. So their schedule before the All-Star break is ridiculously easy. I'm with you. I think the Astros are going to win their division, no problem. And I'm not really on the train of caring about who has the best record in baseball, because whoever has the best record in baseball, that never really matters, it seems like, come playoffs. What do you see? as far as the Astros schedule goes that you like. For me, it makes me feel good that they have an easy schedule and then they can kind of ease into the All-Star break.
Well, yeah, I feel great about that. Now, look, you gotta take a look at some things happening around baseball where the Mariners just swept Toronto in four games in Seattle over the weekend, and now they're officially above 500, and they're playing really well. Julio Rodriguez, of course, their young star. He's going to be in the All-Star festivities this weekend. But then you take a look at also what happened in New York, which I'm much more excited about it. Check that. It happened at Fenway Park. So I was keeping an eye on this weekend series, Vanessa, between the Yankees and Red Sox, because I actually happen to have the MLB app, which is great.
Wow, you're rich.
Guess what? My phone plan gives it to me for free, which I discovered this weekend. Nice. I had no idea. And I
actually watched that series. My friend's husband got called up from AAA, so I watched a couple of those games as well.
She is doing well for herself. Hell yeah. So the Red Sox played very well in this series, and the Yankees and Red Sox still play each other about 12 more times. So I've said before, I feel like the Astros are going to catch the Yankees. After watching this weekend series, I feel very good, especially with the series that the Astros have ahead of them, as you mentioned, Vanessa. They're playing some cupcakes while the Yankees have to play some tough teams the rest of the way.
What day was that walk-off? Thursday or Friday?
I think that the walk-off was Saturday.
Yeah, that had playoff vibes. That was fun.
Yeah,
obviously
that was
not
awesome.
A Yankees or Red Sox fan by any stretch of the imagination, but that was cool. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, a certain quarterback has emerged over the weekend as possibly a hero. Plus, where will Jimmy G end up? That's next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Zach Wilson apparently has that dog in him.
What? What does that even mean? That's interesting.
He has that dog in him. You haven't seen that on Twitter?
I have seen that described on Twitter, but it doesn't mean that I know what it means.
That it's an x-ray with a dog in it. Sean once made a nice graphic that had the dog. But it was, so this is these all from basically gossip Twitter pages. So the first one says, who doesn't love a little gossip? Word on the Instagram streets is Zach Wilson's ex-girlfriend is now dating his former BFF, BYU roommate, and current Commanders wide receiver Dax Milne. And Wilson and Milne no longer follow each other on Twitter or Instagram. All right, well, you know, juicy, gossip, whatever. It was nothing compared to the information that followed. Somebody commented on that post on Instagram and said, homie hopper, accusing, of course, Zach Wilson's ex-girlfriend of being a homie hopper. To which one of her friends replies and says, well, he, meaning Zach Wilson, he was sleeping with his mom's best friend. That's the real homie hopper.
Whoa.
So Zach Wilson likes the Cougars, apparently. Major American Pie, The Graduate type vibes. Cheers to you, Mrs. Robinson. Wow.
Well, listen, age is just a number.
Yikes.
Well, actually, check that. There are some rules when it comes to that. But as someone who does not at all, in any way, shape, or form, bat an eyelash at the idea of someone who is too old, you can't feel that way. No, you can't. So here's to Zach Wilson.
Trust me,
Wilson's.
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
That's why we're a toxic show. We have no standards.
Here's to... No, we have... That's fine to not have standards. You can't put everything in a box,
right,
Vanessa. Who are we to put the idea of love for Zach Wilson, quarterback of the New York Jets, in a box when Joe Namath clearly had whatever he wanted to have
when he
was roaming the streets of New York back in the late 60s.
The fur jacket.
In the early 70s. Let's circle back, though, to this other story that Zach Wilson's ex is being criticized for. So Zach Wilson's best friend is now dating Zach Wilson's ex.
Mm-hmm. Bad best friend.
Is he a bad best friend?
I mean, yeah. I've never even considered I've never even considered dating somebody that one of my best friends dated.
You are a better person than me. Here's my take on the whole situation. I don't think it's really a faux pas. Look, it's two adults, and all of a sudden your relationship with one of those people has ended. So you control what that person does for the rest of their life?
You think it's okay to date one of your best friend's exes?
It depends.
Really?
Totally depends on the situation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, how soon, though? Because if we're talking, like, five years, whatever, okay, who cares? But immediately after?
Immediately afterwards is if you have not man-to-man talked to that person about it, then bad. You can't do that. If it's one of those things where it happened through cheating or something like that, absolutely terrible. Can't happen. But I feel like sometimes we look at this situation through a prism of, this relationship is over, and this person isn't allowed to talk to that other person. Sorry, I just don't subscribe to it. And I'll say it as someone who has seen people that I know start dating people I've dated after our thing ended. And guess what? Here's my way of looking at it. Like, my relationship with that person is no longer happening, and if this relationship that person is having with my friend is something that affects me in a negative way, then okay, maybe I'll cut that person out. But if it doesn't actually affect my like day-to-day being, I don't know, who am I to say that person can't date the other person?
I think that it's really crappy, and I think that there are billions and billions and billions of people in the world, not to mention dating apps, not to mention Instagram, where you can find others. Why do you have to go with somebody that your homie was just dating?
Well, you might know that person better. I don't know. You might have
Didn't
more of a connection with that person.
Did you say your friend group is fairly incestuous? Like, you've all dated? Yeah, mine's not that way, probably because half of them are gay. But it's just not – I just wouldn't do that. But Zach Wilson's ex-girlfriend has that dog in her. She found another pro athlete. Good for her. And Zach Wilson apparently was hanging out with his mom's friend. Stacey's mom has got it going on. There were a couple of funny tweets that followed this, by the way. One of them was Chad Johnson that said, Zach Wilson is the GOAT, to which DK Metcalf quote tweeted it and said, confirmed. Corked Bats tweeted, if the Zach Wilson rumors are true, it'll mark the first time the Jets have scored over 40 since 2018.
Classic.
That was a good one. So Zach Wilson, maybe has that dog in him.
It just reminds me of that song by Temple of the Dog. Call me a dog. That's fair enough.
Oh, yeah. Hunger Strike?
No. There's a song by Temple of the Dog called Call Me a Dog.
Oh.
I think it's one of their top three songs, along with Say Hello to Heaven and, as you mentioned, Hunger Strike.
Or I'm going hungry.
But Call Me a Dog is basically about some guy who's like, yeah, you call me a dog, but guess what? You always be calling me.
Yeah, no, that's true. I am anti-dating your friends' exes. Anti. So I think that this guy's a bad friend. I do.
Well, I mean, here's the other thing to look at it, too. Are you going to be lifelong friends with that person? Because guess what? Like, life changes. I don't know. I feel...
Text us and let us know what you guys think. Is it okay to date your best friend's ex?
713-780-ESPN. I'm sure I am sounding like one, but I think, assuming you have the conversation, you say, look, we're dating. I wanted to let you know so you hear it first, but I don't really care how you feel about it. Like, that's one of those situations where I've had friends tell me that they were dating friends of mine. I don't care. I really don't.
Like dating women that you dated?
Yeah.
And you're good with it. After a long relationship. Because this was a long relationship.
That's true.
You know, Zach Wilson and his girlfriend.
I don't have any long relationships over the course of my life. So maybe that's why. But I just don't. I don't know. I don't get upset about it. I mean, if they happen to like each other, who am I to stand in the reason because like of some weird, hey, I own this person because I used to like hook up with them. Like, that's, to me,
I think maybe you're
possessive.
Talking hookups versus Sean.
Also, from this, you know, the U Stadium Twitter account that posted this, it's Zach Wilson's ex-girlfriend, so I assume his college girlfriend, is now dating his college roommate and teammate.
Yeah.
I feel like being the roommate takes your friendship to another level.
Agree.
To where
that is
now
a good
it's
point.
Like, really, dude, you're doing this?
Yeah.
But... okay, going forward, how often are they actually going to hang out with one another?
It's wrong. wrong. They were roommates and friends, and it was a long relationship.
But do we know what happened first? What if Zach Wilson got with the mom's friend before this relationship started?
Well, then started? She can still find somebody else. It's
Why?
Just odd.
Why?
Why is it okay?
It's if she's getting cheated on, all of a sudden she's not allowed to date this very random specific person who might not ever see Zach Wilson again?
Why would you want to? So odd. I am
maybe you had a connection with the person. You never know how this stuff works. I just feel like to take it all out of Zach Wilson's hands, the responsibility of what has just happened, is perhaps a little bit, we're doing it a little bit too quickly.
My cousin, this is what somebody on the text line says. My cousin married one of my ex-girlfriends. It happens. Definitely happens in the small town. I get that. Jimmy Garoppolo, by the way, where will Jimmy Garoppolo end up? It's been kind of quiet on that front. A radio host had made comments that the Bucks had reached out about acquiring Jimmy G as the heir apparent to Tom Brady. Tom Pelissero of NFL Network then reached out to Don Yee, who is Jimmy Garoppolo's agent, to which Jimmy Garoppolo's agent said he's progressing well and on schedule as far as his injury goes. We're optimistic about the upcoming season. Over the weekend, a report came out that asserted that I had spoken to a media member about his future, but that report was false. Pelissero also said most training camps open in 2 weeks, and the expectation within the league continues to be that Garoppolo will be traded somewhere by the end of the month.
Do you subscribe to the idea that you can't trade a player within your own division?
I get why. I mean, like, Deshaun Watson had 5 teams listed, and the Texans immediately said no to the Colts.
Right.
So, I mean, I understand the mindset, but...
Different situation there, though, right? Because Deshaun Watson's clearly a better quarterback right. than Jimmy Garoppolo. There was only one team that Vanessa could trade for Jimmy Garoppolo at this point in time. It's the Seahawks, who have Geno Smith and Drew Lock battling each other for the quarterback competition. Now, I doubt Seattle's even interested in Jimmy Garoppolo, given that they've seen a lot of him firsthand. But I don't think Jimmy G is getting traded anywhere other than Seattle. That's the only place I could see it happening. And I feel like if you're San Francisco and you're scared to trade a guy in division, then don't trade him at all. I go back to in 2002, after the 2001 season, the New England Patriots traded Drew Bledsoe within division to the Buffalo Bills. A Bledsoe that a lot of people still thought was a good player. If you feel like you're ready to move on from somebody, you shouldn't limit who you're trading to. If you feel like the guy's not your quarterback anymore, that's the only take I really have on this. I don't know, though, that San Francisco is going to move on from him, Vanessa, because I don't know who else would want to trade for Jimmy Garoppolo and all of that salary, given that pretty much all quarterback competitions seem to be resolved heading into training camp right now.
I think we're at the point in the summer where if Jimmy Garoppolo wants to be moved, this is where his agent and those people around him are going to start chattering. They're going to start telling different people different things about possible quote-unquote rumors to try to get that pot stirring, but we shall see. Speaking of the NFL, 59 days until the NFL season begins, and you won't believe what one of the franchise quarterbacks in the league did and then kind of had a victim complex about. We're talking about that coming up in our NFL segment next.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Vanessa and Gallant.
We are at 59 days, yes, 59 days until the NFL season, regular season, kicks off. Paul Gallant, what is your number 59 jersey number?
There's only one number 59 in the NFL Hall of Fame. His name is Jack Ham. He played 12 years for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He won 4 Super Bowls there. They never played the Patriots in those Super Bowls, so who knows what would have happened. 8-time Pro Bowler and All-Pro. But yeah, would Jack Ham have won all of those All-Pros and Pro Bowls with Tom Brady playing in the 70s? I can't say. Just kidding. But he is the only number 59 in the Hall of Fame. So how about that, Jack Ham?
This morning on Speak for Your Pizza with Paul Gallant.
I'm sorry. The Steelers didn't play Tom Brady. They just did it.
59 days. We're certainly excited. It's actually 2 months from today that the Texans and Colts open the season with each other at Energy Stadium. So when you say 2 months, it's like, that sounds like a long time. But think about it. 2 months ago was May, and it's gone by quickly. So
Two months sounds a lot shorter than 60 days.
That's very true.
Slash 59.
All right. So this was one of the funniest stories of the weekend. And I hate when athletes or anybody in the public eye does this. Okay. When you ask for attention in any way, shape, or form, and you get it, and then you act irritated that you got set attention. And it ranges from sending out a tweet to going out to a really high-profile restaurant where you know everybody's going to see you and then acting like you're annoyed that people see you, etc. And Lamar Jackson did that. He posted a picture of a grill that said, "I need dollar sign. I need money," on Twitter and Instagram. But he's confused, Paul, as to why there's a reaction. "I don't know why people are blowing it up," he told USA Today. "I just saw Bleacher Report posted." They just take anything that's posted on social media and blow it up and try to think for you.
Yeah, no,
I don't take it too seriously. They're making it seem like I'm talking to the Ravens when I'm not. "Our contract discussion is going on already, but it ain't about that, though. I'm not putting my business life on social media. I won't ever do that." He claims he saw the image in a movie, thought it was funny, so he added it to his social media pages. He's trying to act like this has no affiliation with the contract negotiations.
He saw the image in a movie and he thought it was funny? "I need money?" Wow, that's hilarious, dude. Nice joke, man. This is just classic everyone today. "Oh, I can't believe anyone thought this was a big deal." And look, I'm a big Lamar Jackson fan, and I do think that the guy should be paid. But what did you think was going to happen when you posted this? Did you think people were going to say, "Huh, I remember that part in the movie"? So funny.
What movie? Did he say what movie it was?
No, he didn't. He's talking out of his ass, probably. Because right. I think he did this, and he did not think it would blow up. Which is idiotic, because has he not seen any of the conversation about Kyler Murray over the last couple of months? Remember on Facebook, Vanessa, when you could update your relationship status?
I do.
And I remember, complicated.
Single.
Yes, 100%. I, like a little diva.
Naturally.
Back in college, once changed my status from single to not listed as single to try to drive a girl crazy. Guess what? That didn't work. But then people were asking, "Oh, Paul, what's going on? Oh, Paul." And I said the same thing. I was like, "You know what? Like, I can't believe anyone's looking into it," because I thought that this one person would look into it. And of course, that was the one person who didn't look into it. But
I dated
happens.
A guy for 2 days in high school. It was my first boyfriend. 2 days. Ooh. And it's probably one of the longest relationships I've had, if we're being honest. And I changed my status from single to in a relationship, and everybody commented on it. All my family was like, "Oh, wow, finally, you know, Nessa has a boyfriend." And then 2 days later, I changed it to "It's Complicated," otherwise known as "It Didn't Work Out."
It's complicated. But Sean, a nice spin zone. It was complicated.
It was. You. It was.
I have an important update on the Lamar Jackson movie.
Okay.
It's from the 2001 comedy How High, featuring Redman and Mike Epps and Method Man.
Mike Epps! Shout out to Indianapolis, Indiana.
There we go. And so it is a stoner movie from the looks of it. And so maybe he was perhaps
movie.
In a state where everything's hilarious. A mental state.
I do know that state. Have experienced that.
Whoa.
That state. But
that's breaking the law.
But
say
yeah.
Say goodbye to AT&T sports debt.
I literally don't. I don't understand why athletes do this. And I'm not saying you should bother athletes in public, but I even think about the fact, I remember seeing that J.J. Watt and his brothers had rented out a whole golf course to go golfing for privacy. And I remember thinking, you know what? Good. Because they're smart enough to know that if they go golfing on a public golf course, they're going to be bothered. People are going to talk to them. It's like when people go to, you know, athletes or somebody high profile goes to an expensive like Ruth's Chris or Steak 48 and then they act like they don't want people to see them. That's why you went. If you didn't want people to see you, you would have gotten to go or you would have gotten takeout food. So to me, this was the equivalent. This is Lamar Jackson wanting people to talk about it, wanting people to notice it, wanting people to ask questions, and then acting like, quote unquote, the media, which I don't know if Bleacher Report, you know, the media takes things out of proportion. It's It's attention seeking. I like Lamar a lot. Just can't stand it.
He's more jacked apparently now too. He definitely wants people to see that. I mean, and who doesn't though? So he posted also another picture on social media where he's a little beefier.
He's thirst trapping. It's fine. We've all done it.
Oh yeah, thirst trapping's great.
We have thirst trapped.
Do you keep an eye on who likes your thirst trap photos if you ever say where to post any?
Oh, I definitely do.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, did the one person I want to like this photo like it?
Yeah, the empowering thing is when you don't have any one particular person that you want to like it, and then you get a bunch of likes
look at
anyway.
You flexing. Oh my God, I'm Vanessa. I'm a hot TV star. Ooh, look at me.
I haven't had anybody that I've wanted to like something in a while. So if you're out there, let me know.
I have options. I'm Vanessa. Look at me.
Well, I have options, and I don't date my best friend's former boyfriend, so that helps me too.
See, because I don't have options, Vanessa. That's why I do that.
More Baker Mayfield slander continues. Jason Lloyd of The Athletic wrote that the Browns, quote, widely viewed Mayfield as childish and immature. He said, quote, his behavior annoyed teammates and divided the locker room. He was often difficult to coach. This matches, if you remember, that Chris Mortensen report, otherwise known as the Mort report, that the Browns wanted to bring an adult in. So they brought in Deshaun Watson.
Then Lloyd's story in The Athletic goes a little further and says that there was a schism between Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr. and that most people sided with Odell Beckham Jr., which is, I think, pretty interesting given that I find Odell Beckham Jr. to be tedious at best. So in this situation, again, it's just more and more dump being thrown on Baker Mayfield, and I'm curious as to how he is actually going to handle it, because I know he likes to pretend as if he does not care, but he clearly does. The guy is sensitive, and sometimes it works in his favor, but for the most part of late, it has not. And I'm really curious as to how this is going to go in Carolina, where there are already two people in his offensive coordinator, Ben McAdoo, and in wide receiver Robbie Anderson, who seem a little skeptical about him.
Tyreek Hill continues to host his podcast and continues to, quite frankly, set up expectations that I think Tua can only reach if they win a Super Bowl. We heard him say compare Tua to Patrick Mahomes a couple of weeks ago. Now Tyreek Hill is talking with Jaylen Waddle. He and Jaylen chatting about the expectations, et cetera, et cetera. And Tyreek says it's going to be a lot of people taking their words back on what they said about Tua. Reporters, analysts, Twitter trolls, all those people are going to take their words back on what they said about Tua. And I'm going to be sitting there eating my popcorn. Sean Mapes is our Tua stan on the show. Sean Mapes really believes in Tua Tagovailoa. Did you listen to this podcast? Did you buy in?
As a Tua stan, it is my duty to listen to not just every Miami Dolphin podcast available, but every podcast where they talk about Tua, and then I send snide remarks on Twitter to people. No, I actually did not listen to the episode 4 or whatever of Tyreek Hill's podcast.
I checked it out, and I thought what was interesting is that Hill actually did have some rather frank comments about Tua, about how, look, you got like 2 to 3 years to prove yourself in the league, and if you don't get it done then that's it. But I also thought it was hilarious that remember that video that got posted of Tua throwing a deep ball to Tyreek Hill and underthrows it?
Right, on the Dolphins' Twitter, right?
Right, yeah. Tua had one of the best spin jobs of all time. Quote, I really believe they showed that clip of Tua underthrowing me just to get people talking.
Help.
Because they really know what Tua is capable of. For real. He even ended it with for real.
Yep.
For real. Bussin', yep, yo.
It's for real, no bussin'. Cap bussin'.
Yeah, he is not gaslighting us. for real.
Yeah, here's the thing. All the respect in the world for Tyreek trying to defend his quarterback, but let's be realistic and let's not set expectations. Yeah, for real. Coming up on Vanessa and Galan, a special edition in case you missed it Monday. That's coming up next.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to Vanessa and Galant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Galant.
We are rolling along on a Monday. I'm Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes with you. This is our In Case You Missed It segment. And in case you missed it, Paul Gallant still is at home recovering from the Rona. But you're feeling okay, Paul, right?
Feeling pretty good, yeah. The most frustrating part about this weekend, I was supposed to go up to Boston this weekend for a childhood friend's wedding. And I was feeling good enough to do things on Saturday, but you know, you're not supposed to go on when you have even like mild symptoms on a plane. I don't even know anymore. So, but I'm feeling fine. I'm totally fine. You know, I'm just in a cave to prevent me from spreading the sickness to other people.
I was on a plane this weekend and I can tell you that a lot of more people should have done what you did. Ooh. I heard a lot of coughing. I heard some sneezing. And here's the thing. I'm actually not a germaphobe, but like, maybe don't get on a plane if you have those issues.
Yeah, right? I think a lot of people don't want to know that they have those issues. And they're selfish, whatever. I mean, I have lots of thoughts. I don't want
but
to
you
go
know
all
what?
Day on them.
But you know what, Paul? Good for you.
Can we
you.
Get a quick like rundown, Paul, of what quarantining at the Gallant household looks like? I just want to know what
we
the
know
last
you made
48
spaghetti.
Hours have been like.
Okay, so.
You made spaghetti, right?
Yeah. What have I done? I read a book. I watched season 7 and most of 8 of Homeland. I made a pasta gravy. Oh, what else did I do?
Cultural appropriation. Hey,
I put together a list of house projects that I want to do in this place because it is my newly purchased condo.
You do have a condo. Good for you.
And, but yeah, it was pretty boring. I'm not going to lie. I was losing my mind, and I think my cat was getting annoyed that I was talking to her like she was a person because I don't do well in isolation. I don't.
I can imagine you don't do well in isolation.
Do you spiral? Because when I'm alone for too long, I spiral.
What do you mean by spiral?
I think one thing, and then all of a sudden, like 2 hours later, I've done research on an assassination for 2 hours. And like,
I did a little of that.
I need my thoughts interrupted.
The Japanese prime minister. Hear about that one?
Yes.
Ooh. Crazy.
What is up with that? We should try to solve that, guys. That would be fun.
No, I'm good. I don't want to die.
All right.
I've read enough of the CIA. The book I've been reading is about the CIA. Sorry.
I think they're responsible for everything.
I don't want to know any secrets.
Did we really go to the moon?
I don't want to know anything anymore.
Former Rocket James Harden. Big team guy, big unselfish guy, signed a team-friendly deal to stay in Philadelphia. I don't know if he just has a lot of respect for Daryl Morey. I was surprised by this.
Right. So he declined a $47 million player option for this year, and he instead has signed a 2-year deal that's going to pay him $32 million next season. There's a player option for the second year. So this is kind of a 1-year prove-it deal for James Harden to show that he's still the James Harden of old. But it's much more so a massive victory for Daryl Morey, who, despite, I think, burning an alarming amount of bridges during his time with the Houston Rockets, because he stopped trying to build a team and started to try and acquire stars, but then it became about surrounding James
right.
Harden with an orbit suitable to James Harden's desires. Well, while that did not work out well for the Rockets, obviously, Daryl Morey is not able to do this if he did not accommodate every single whim that James Harden had. I think the real question is, okay, well, great, you got James Harden at a discount. Maybe you can sign somebody else this offseason. But is Philadelphia really going any further than they went last year, where James Harden, even by Joel Embiid's own admission, is clearly not the same guy he used to be? I don't know, but it's a win for Morey, that's for sure.
It is a win for Morey. Morey was very, very good with promoting. I don't want to say promoting himself, because he was kind of an under-the-radar guy.
Though.
He was really good with building and establishing relationships with media members that really benefited him long-term. And that is how I think he was able to get out of Houston in a manner of which people said, oh, it's sad that Daryl Morey is leaving. When a lot of people that had built a team around a superstar and it didn't work out and had some of those things happen, would not have had that going away party.
He did a hell of a job with his PR game, that's for sure. And you're right. I mean, he befriended a lot of people that covered the team from an early period on.
And I'm part of the problem because I like Daryl, by the way. Like, I think Daryl's so cool.
I like Daryl too, and Daryl and I have like had our own like one-on-one conversations before, but with the way that he was covered by some people in town, I always
Correct.
Was made skeptical because of it. So I'm actually glad that some people were so like gung-ho about Daryl Morey. He was a good general manager while he
Right.
was here. You have to say that that was a successful period for Rockets basketball, and you got to wonder what would have happened if Chris Paul did not tear his hamstring after Game 5 of the 2018 Western Conference Finals against Golden State, because they were up 3-2. I mean, I think there's a very good chance that they win that series, given that they only had one more game to win, and that the Game 7 that they lost without Chris Paul happened when, in a game where they missed 27 straight three-pointers. But at the same time, he is elevated to a level that, like, it's funny that he was discussed as much as he was, given that Jeff Luhnow was much better as a general manager than Daryl Morey was. But Morey had a lot of friends that were in the local media here.
Also, to speak to his, you know, the PR kind of cloak that he had, how he left the Rockets is so underrated.
I mean,
that he, after the bubble, he it was obvious this, like, Russell Westbrook was going to demand a trade, James Harden was going to demand a trade, and then he says he resigns to spend more time with his family,
mm-hmm.
and then 3 weeks later is the Sixers president of basketball.
And Tillman's like, all right, cool.
Yeah, no
so
one,
he got
and
paid.
No one has a problem with it.
He got paid by the, I mean, that is one of the, you're right. I'm so glad you brought
that up. It's the GM empowerment era.
Unbelievable finesse by Daryl Morey there. And to your point, Paul, I'm glad you brought up Luhnow. Obviously, I have a great relationship with Jeff and his family. But no, he didn't finesse the media the same way Daryl Morey did. And
he
it
didn't need
freaking
to.
Showed.
Right. He didn't need to. The results spoke for itself. With
and
Morey,
they still speak for themselves, by the
right.
way.
Morey had to explain some of the results. Now, the James Harden thing, I mean, he hit a grand slam on that. That's one of the greatest trades that we'll ever see. I mean, they robbed Oklahoma City blind by getting Harden for essentially nothing and then having Harden turn into the kind of player that he did when he became the focal point of this organization. But I think there's a strong argument to be made that once they had Harden, perhaps they should have been building in the draft as opposed to continuously trading away the idea of prospects that can grow and be developed to just get stars. Like, that became Morey's objective. And I think that it's become clear over the past decade that star chasing very rarely actually lends itself to a championship unless you're the Golden State Warriors and Kevin Durant decides to join you.
Former Texan Dwayne Brown was arrested at LAX for a gun charge. This was a weird story. So he's at LAX. He has a gun and he tried to go through TSA with a gun in his baggage.
Yeah.
And then he had cops waiting for him at the end of the airport.
I have a question about this, and I think.
And
other
if you own guns,
listen.
Let us know, please,
right.
because I thought this was very strange.
This seems to happen a lot. And, I mean, I guess a different version of this. Brittany Griner maybe had weed in her bag that she was unaware of. I suppose that it's happened, but I feel like there are many things in the world that you should be very aware of where they are at all times. And I think if you're a responsible gun owner, you're supposed to know whether or not there is a gun in your bag. And you should probably check before you get to the airport, where I'm guessing someone like Dwayne Brown is not going to have the issues of having to wait in line for security. I bet he has TSA PreCheck or Clear or something
well,
like that.
Well, and I think you can travel with guns if you get them checked properly or something
Probably.
Like that. So what I had seen a couple of gun owners on Twitter say was, why didn't he just do X, Y, and Z, which all of us do when we travel and we want to pack heat, like you do all of these different things. So, weird.
I'm assuming that is something he just didn't do. And I don't want to turn it into a conversation about anything else.
No.
It just feels like this is something that he easily could have taken care of at first glance. But maybe there's other people out there that actually have a legitimate excuse as to why you might forget that you have a pistol in your carry-on bag or something.
Also, in case you missed it this weekend, Heinz Field is no more. Listen, I'm not a Steelers fan, but I covered the Texans-Steelers game a couple years ago. Heinz Field is a cool stadium. It's very, very local because Heinz is based in Pittsburgh and everybody knows about the ketchup, how important it is there in Pittsburgh. The ketchup bottles are coming down. So there's a Michigan-based insurance brokerage firm called Acrisure? A-C-R-I-S-U-R-E.
I like that. Acrisure Stadium.
So it's going to be Acrisure Stadium. So it goes from being one of the stadiums with the most local flavor, the ketchup bottles, the yellow seats, to being from an Acrisure insurance firm in Michigan. I hate it. Not a fan.
Yeah, I don't either, but like, I mean, this is how it goes. It's funny how we get so up in arms when a stadium's name sponsor gets changed. Like, oh, I can't believe that they changed it from this one to the other one. Now, people are going to have a hard time remembering the new name, that's for sure. I doubt that anyone's just going to roll into calling it not Heinz Field anymore. But, I mean, yeah, this happens. Sponsorship, baby.
It is sponsorship for sure. All right, last thing that I just saw on Twitter a couple of minutes ago, so it's not technically in case you missed it, but you might not have seen it yet. The Broncos have actually added Condoleezza Rice to the ownership group. So Condoleezza Rice is now part owner of the Denver Broncos.
Big government. Hell yeah.
I mean, it's not a bad idea to have the government on your side.
I would think so. You get a little Dick Cheney action in here, too. The Broncos can start doing some really shady stuff across the NFL. One last thing, and I got in an argument with some of my friends because I think most people on the show are aware of my stance on tennis. Wimbledon was still happening yesterday, and Novak Djokovic won. So... that happens.
Are you a Djokovic fan?
No. I'm a no one fan. I think all tennis players are just like pompous, like ritzy cake eaters. And I feel like I have nothing in common with any of them.
They're just very dramatic too, all the time. They'll be like, when they hit the ball,
Oh yeah, there's that. And the thing that I have as an issue with like professional tennis players too, is like they all look like the kind of person who would send an order back 2 to 3 times while out at a restaurant.
Right. Yeah, they don't drink tap water. They only drink sparkling.
They're such whiners. Can you guys stop bullying lines judges for 5 seconds?
And then they're always mad after their match, right? Yeah. They're always mad. They are very country clubbish. And again, I understand. Like, I don't think that any of them grunt during practice the way they do at a match. That's my problem. I don't think they grunt. I think when they practice, it's probably like, but then they get in front of people and it's like,
I wish there was a male tennis player who really just rolled into like the grunts. Just go,
yeah. Yeah. Hey, 1194 says Mr. Yacht Week in Croatia.
Yeah, I know.
That is fair.
I would never send an order back.
That's fair.
That's where we differentiate. That guy lives in Monaco. Come on.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're going to talk Astros, including recapping the weekend, talk about All-Stars plus that Yordan injury. That's next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.